Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Utah Liberty Talk. This is Tyson David. Got a good episode in store for you guys today, talking to Sarah Rossi. She had a great protest at Rutgers University. But before we get that kicked off, I just wanted to say I'm getting closer to doing this Constitution protocol or whatever, this Constitution prototype episode out for you guys. And with that, I'll be announcing the giveaway for Utah Liberty Talk. And we are working right now. I'm not sure if I've talked about it on the show before, but I know I talked about it on Political Dysfunction with Hunter. But we are currently working on organizing a protest at all universities in the state of Utah that are mandating vaccines. Even if your university doesn't mandate vaccines, you can go ahead and have one to support us. But Weber State, Utah State, University of Utah, Utah Valley, we're all doing protests at all these universities and getting geared up to fight these vaccine mandates. So anyone that wants to get involved with that, anyone that knows anyone, feel free to contact me. Today is Sunday the 12th. I will be in Logan at Utah State University on Tuesday and at Utah Valley University the following Tuesday. And then I'm going to get out to the University of Utah sometime in that time period as well. So with that being said, we're going to work to get these established at all these universities. And if anyone wants to lend a hand in any way, I greatly appreciate it. Don't forget to get us on the Patreon, check out the website, read the articles, go to the shop, whatever. We want to thank you guys again for listening. I appreciate it, and go ahead and enjoy this episode. How's it going today, Sarah?
Hey, it's going well. How about you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. So for those of you guys who are not familiar with Sarah Rossi, she's a pro-liberty activist, and she is the state chair of New Jersey for Young Americans for Liberty. And she is widely known for her vaccine mandate protests at Rutgers University. So we are going to be talking a little bit on here today. So Sarah, I first want to ask you, how did you get into the Liberty Movement?
So it's a funny story. So I basically tweeted about a year ago, I tweeted why aren't there any libertarians in New Jersey? Because taxes are so high. And then instantly, a former Yale staffer saw that tweet and tagged the former New Jersey state chair. And then 2 days later, I became a DPM for Young Americans for Liberty. And then I was welcomed into the Rutgers Yale chapter, which is probably my strongest chapter right now. And I helped build up the chapter, brought in new people. And then I was really good at recruiting. So they're like, why don't you just become the New Jersey state chair? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so then 2 months later, that's how I got, indoctrinated. Well, not really indoctrinated, but brought in into the team. And yeah, I've been a state chair for about a year.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you got into the state chair position pretty quickly after joining the organization then.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It took 2 months. Yeah, it was really funny.
Well, the good thing is about Yale is if they feel like they found the right person for the job, they'll get right on it. Like, Yale's pretty good about that.
That's true.
Yeah, that's awesome. So would you consider yourself a libertarian or how would you describe yourself politically?
So, I mean, I am my ideology is really crazy. Like, I could be conservative and I can be a libertarian I'm split on so many issues. So I would say I'm a constitutional conservative and okay. I could be very libertarian on several issues. And I could be pretty conservative on several issues.
Okay. That makes sense. So
yeah.
Who do you think your biggest influencers are when it comes to politics?
Oh my God. So many. Well, obviously Ron Paul, because honestly, he is probably the greatest activist and inspiration that we have in the Liberty Movement. But what really brought me to the Liberty Movement was Justin Amash when he ran for president back in 2020. That's really opened up my eyes to the Liberty Movement. I'm like, wait, maybe I do belong here because I agree with a lot of what these people are saying. So, and then he inspired me to start speaking up against what was going on in New Jersey back in early 2020 with the lockdowns. The economy collapsing, what he did, how he ran for president, how he basically left the Republican Party motivated me to speak up and to say no.
See, I see. Okay, that's really good. Justin Amash is he's not have you ever had the chance to meet him?
No, but actually, before you became a state chair, I did an event with him. It was called the Justin Amash Town Hall event. So this was back in April, and I organized this event. It was an entire Northeast region event, and then all the other regions were like, "Yeah, we'll just join in." And we basically did a Q&A with Justin Amash on Zoom, and there was about like 70 people in the Zoom call, and I was the one moderating it. I was like, "What is going on?" But it was pretty crazy. And how this actually happened is that I was like, "All right, I'm just gonna DM him and see what happens." So I DM'd him. And then he answered, "Wait, what?" And then he's like, "Yeah, I'll do an event with you guys." So, yeah, I
Wow.
haven't met him, but I worked with him.
That's awesome. Yeah, my co-host for Political Dysfunction, he's in the network, Hunter Fox. He got the chance to meet Justin Amash this last summer. He didn't really give me much of an opinion on him though. That's super cool though.
He's insane, like insane in a very good way.
Yeah, he's interesting. He's interesting for sure. I mean, as libertarians are, we all have our differences, so it is what it is. But a step for liberty is a step for liberty, and he did make history when he was the first libertarian member of Congress when he switched his party. So that
That's
was pretty
true.
cool, I admit. So okay, so so about so when you were first like getting into like Ron Paul and stuff like that, how long ago do you think that was?
I think about a year and a half ago.
Really? So you just that I was kind of the same way. Like when I first got on the Liberty train, like I figured out, I was like, oh, this is right. And then I just full sent it. I was like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, a lot of libertarians actually find out if they are liberty leaning by what affects them. So, for example, what really affected like my town and like my state was lockdowns, especially in New Jersey. New Jersey and the entire Northeast was locked down. And that's when I really realized, I'm like, wait a second, I'm against all this and this is wrong. And people need to stop this because if you give the government an inch, they're gonna take a mile.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really good. And I'd imagine that the lockdowns have made a lot of people like more liberty leaning.
Actually, no. So the problem with New Jersey is that a lot of people began leaning towards the opposition, but not clearly in the right direction. So you have a lot of people leaning towards like more conservative slash populist in New Jersey. We've seen a huge uprising. And then within the New Jersey GOP, there's a division between like the establishmentarians or the liberty-minded slash populists that just want to get Phil Murphy out. But we don't. I have encountered a lot of girls who are starting to realize that they're actually libertarians after they mandated the vaccine at Rutgers. Like a lot of women are waking up and coming to me because they saw what I did. They're like, "Can I get involved in Yale because I don't belong here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, come right in."
That's
So
awesome.
I'm seeing a lot with college students that they're realizing libertarians, but not the community. The community's leaning towards a populist side.
Interesting. Well, that's an interesting fold out for it to have. I personally would rather have it be the college students because we're the future, and I think that it's kind of like if we can invest our future into liberty and we get a lot of people on board, then we're likely not gonna have to like all these policies getting worse and worse and worse in our government. Like hopefully we're the generation that can stop it because all the other generations have proven that they're not going to.
Yeah, and I agree with that too, because like, I mean, I don't have a problem with a lot of people leaning more populist, but when it comes to college students who can actually like challenge the administration with what we're doing at Rutgers, that means a lot to me, especially when it's young women, because we need more women in the movement. And I believe that this vaccine mandate at my university woke up all the girls and they're like, "Wait a second, this is infringing on my rights, my personal liberty. I need to speak up and say no."
Right. Yeah, and it's interesting to pull that argument because you pull that argument from the left and you really just say like my body, my choice, like it has to make sense.
Yeah, did you see? Like, I saw something on Twitter when there was Democrats protesting outside of the Texas Capitol, and they weren't chanting "My body, my choice." They were chanting "Bans off my bodies," because they ran out of the "My body, my choice" argument once they started mandating this vaccine. It was so funny.
That's a,
I
that
love
yeah, my body, my choice has been the cry for years now for that pro-choice movement, and so Now it's not about choice. It's about
Yeah.
bans.
It's crazy.
That's interesting. Okay, so I want to start getting into this now because you had this big, nice protest at Rutgers University, and it got a lot of attention. You've been I've read multiple big news articles about it, and so I wanted to ask you about that. So first, like I was wondering like kind of what the campus environment is at Rutgers, and how you might have foreseen this coming from the administration, or like kind of what. Like you were expecting before it happened.
So back when we started organizing the rally, it was around the month of March and April. So it all actually started when I made a tweet against Rutgers. Rutgers University was the first university in the nation to mandate the COVID vaccine. So since I was a state chair and I basically go there, I was like, wait the fuck up. I have to say something. So I tweeted and I was like, vaccines shouldn't be mandatory. They should only be voluntary, and they shouldn't be forcing students to be taking this vaccine. And then Good Morning America saw it, and they're like, "Hey, we want to get you on the show." And I was like, "What?" So
Wow.
it was crazy. And I was like, "What the heck?" And then a few people saw my interview on Good Morning America, and then basically my after like, "We need to organize a rally." And I was like, "All right, let's do it." So it took us at least a month. We had about 2 months to organize this rally, and I was unsure of the environment that I was walking into. I was already well aware that there would be a lot of opposition, but since we were online and this rally took place a week after finals, we didn't have a lot of students there. We had more of like the community and the surrounding community, and we had my activists there too. So, I mean, we didn't get that much opposition, but the administration basically approached me, and this was on the day of the rally. So they approached me and they tried to shut down the rally. And the cops actually cornered me, and one cop had his hand on the holster. And they were trying to shut down the rally. And I basically stood my ground. I said, "With all due respect, you can't hold my organization accountable for holding this rally." And I literally just said, "Have a nice day," and I walked away. So it was scary. I guess I handled that. But that was the only opposition we had. However, now since we're back on campus, like it's very left-leaning, but it's not totally towards the communist side. It's literally more liberal and more friendly. So I know so many liberals that came up to me when I was tabling, and they were like, "Are you guys a gun club, or are you guys like against the mask mandates?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Where can I sign up?" And they're like, "We hate the mask mandates too." These are liberals we're talking about.
Wow.
Liberals being against mask mandates. Like, people are finally waking up. So I feel like we have more student support against pushing back against the mask mandates than we did with the vaccine mandates.
That's good. Well, I find it interesting because to me, it seems like a vaccine mandate is a lot more severe than a mask mandate. Like, I don't like either of them, but I mean, I think one of them's a lot more dire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, did you expect them to do a vaccine mandate before they did it?
I kind of had a feeling that they would, so I was kind of prepared. Like, I had it on the back of my mind that they would mandate the vaccine because of how the state's being run in New Jersey. I mean, we have a governor who's an absolute freaking tyrant, and he basically is proposing this vaccine mandate. So I did see it coming. It's just I was embarrassed that my university was the first university in the nation to mandate it.
Yeah,
And
that
I was just
is.
like, wow, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, that's brutal to be honest. That would be embarrassing, like for me too. I'd feel like I had to do something about it, you know?
Yeah, and literally that's what we did, and it was like 2 whole months of preparation. We had about 600 people at the rally, and we had a lot of speakers like Phil Rizzo, who ran for governor in New Jersey. He's probably our most liberty-minded candidate that we have in the GOP, but he lost his elect. He lost the campaign. Well, yeah, he lost the election, sorry. And then we had other people like Serena DiMaso, Senator Mike Testa, Rick Maida, and a whole bunch of people, and I also gave a speech too.
That's awesome. Well, it seems like you
Yeah.
got a good turnout. And I wanted to ask you about how they, so the really the only opposition you got was from the administration.
Yes, the administration.
That is that's
Kind of hate
so
on. Yeah.
that's like
Sorry.
university tyranny. Like those guys don't get to shut you down. Like that makes me upset.
Yeah, it was literally the administration. And so, yeah, I was literally in the middle of an interview with the press, and then I saw this bureaucrat come up to me, and he's like, "Are you Sarah Rossi?" And I said, "Yeah, who are you?" And he said, he didn't say his name. He was really smart about it. He said, "I'm from the administration. You need to shut down this rally because you're using sound tech. You're not allowed to be using sound tech." And I'm just like, "What?" So then the cops surrounded me. So yeah, the administration is our biggest force that we're up against. It's not the students. The students don't care because it's a big university. Like, you can't find a communist. It's literally, our university has five different campuses. It's too hard to find anybody, but the administration is the biggest tackle here.
That's interesting. And it seems like with an administration or with a university that big, you have to have somewhat of a big administration. But it Rutgers is a public university, yeah?
Yeah, it's a public university.
Wow, so you would expect, I mean, you would obviously expect the conduct of how they treat their students to be a lot different than the way that they did pulling police on there and having you guys surrounded and intimidated by cops for, I mean, it couldn't have been for using sound tech. That's not what they cared about.
Yeah, it was because we had a lot of people and we were going into university policy. And yeah, that's literally because of that. It's not because of sound tech.
Yeah, that's well, and you know, it's kind of the same. Like a lot of times when people hold an authority, they like to make sure that they have control over that. And so I think that I mean that's what they were doing. But okay, so you had a good turnout. I mean, 600 people, that's solid. I mean, you're getting that message across.
Yeah, we did. We are planning another rally, which is going to be around in about like a week and a half to like 2 weeks. I have to still fill out the information, but we're going to be doing this against the mask mandates this time. And I feel like we're going to have more of a student turnout. The first rally didn't have a student turnout. Well, we did have some students, but not a lot because we were still online and a lot of the students were not on campus. This time, everyone's back on campus. 99% of the population is actually vaccinated, including myself. And like, yeah, we're all just tired of it. So I feel like we'll have more of a student turnout.
Right. And that's exactly so I mean, I've seen pictures of you doing this protest because like I said, it picked up a lot of attention. And you were holding a sign and the sign says it says either like a not anti-vaccine, anti-mandate or something along those lines, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of it, right? Is it's not even like you don't have to be anti-vaccine in any way, shape, or form to be anti-mandate because everyone's got their own reasons for it.
That's very true. And that's a message that I've been trying to get across. I mean, like I said, I do receive a lot of hate, like in my DMs and on my social media posts for this. But I honestly don't care because the message I was trying to bring across is that, number one, this type of vaccine is someone's personal and private decision. It shouldn't be enforced by the government or the administration. It should only be the student's decision along with the doctor's decision. And also, like, I'm not anti-vax. I'm actually anti-mandate.
Yeah. And that makes a
Yeah.
lot of sense. I mean, it's about personal agency, right?
Yeah.
So you say that you guys are planning another rally here in the next, what, 2 weeks or so?
Yes, in about a week and a half or 2 weeks.
Okay. And so you guys are now protesting mask mandates. So does that mean that the vaccine mandate protest worked?
So it basically created an opposition and it led to a lot and led to the coalition between Rutgers Yale and Rutgers Turning Point USA, which I'm in leadership for. And this is our next step because we couldn't like it did like create an opposition, and actually the administration swiped it under the rug because the next day there was an Israel-Palestine protest, like literally on campus. So they swiped the vaccine protest under the rug. So I do believe that it did work and it created like an opposition and a warning sign that Rutgers is wrong and that there's strong people against them. But we need to be very smart with our methods, hence why we're doubling down on this and we're putting a lot of pressure on the university.
Well, that's good. So, do you know people at Rutgers that are unvaccinated then, or are they how are they enforcing that if they are?
So I know a lot of my members are actually not vaccinated. I'm probably one of the only people in the Yale chapter that is vaccinated. A lot of these people, they have to do testing, like several times a week for COVID. We still have to wear masks in the classroom. But yeah, a lot of those people, they're just like, they have to do this like random testing. They have to do random screening because they're not vaccinated. And there's actually, I don't know if you saw this, but like a few days ago, there was a student who basically didn't get vaccinated, but he's taking online classes. So he gets logged out of his Rutgers account and he cannot access anything.
I actually did see that.
Yeah, that guy, I'm trying to get in contact with him and I'm trying to make him like be a guest speaker at a rally. Because honestly, like, yeah, Rutgers, what they're doing is very unconstitutional. It's wrong to lock out a student if they're not vaccinated, especially if they're online.
Yeah, that's
like that is it's ridiculous. And I had a lot of members come up to me and they were like, Sarah, am I going to get locked out of Canvas? And I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, you're literally not. Like, you put in an exemption.
Oh, so you think this student didn't file an exemption? So if you didn't file an exemption, you're probably going to get locked out then. Is that kind of what it is?
I think so. I don't know the whole story, but I'm trying to get in contact with him to hear out his story.
I see. That's interesting. Yeah. I know that I talked to you about this previously, obviously. But yeah, my university's starting to buckle down and they're setting up a vaccine mandate for spring semester. So when we come back from winter break, we're all going to have the jab. They'll allow us to get an exemption, but it's only
the
state
jab.
Laws making.
I'm sorry. It's all about listening to the science or trusting the science. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's an interesting, I find it very interesting. I didn't think they were going to do it. Like, the University of Utah did it, but that's a pretty liberal school. So I was like, yeah, I can kind of see them doing that. Not that it's okay, but it surprised me that my school is going to do it. And it's also surprised me that the Utah State Legislature hasn't done anything about it, because they made a specific law making it so that schools couldn't mandate masks on kids in school. And now they're just hanging us college students out to dry. And it's pretty frustrating, to be honest. But I'm getting in touch with representatives and we're making some changes. But there was
try to get in contact with Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee. I mean, it's a stretch, but I do know someone who actually did an internship with him. So I could help you out with that if you need help, because Mike Lee would probably oppose to all this.
Yeah, and he's a Republican. I could see him doing that. Yeah. Wow, I appreciate that. Thank you for, we'll obviously stay in contact. I'll talk to you about that. so we're working on that, particularly here in the state of Utah, but,
that's crazy.
Outside of the state as well. But, so you're getting ready to protest the mask mandate. What do you think? Do you think that this turnout is going to be significantly higher than the vaccine mandate?
So, number one, we already had our involvement fair. Rutgers Yale got over 100 to almost like 200 signups. And we're following up with them, getting these people to our meetings, getting them engaged. We also work with TPUSA since I'm in leadership at that chapter. So combining both chapters and the other organization that we worked with for the last rally, which is New Jersey Stands Up, we should be having a high turnout of not only the community, but also students too, because where we're going to be doing this rally is the same location as last time. And that's like in the hot center of campus.
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like those are always good places to do it. Because students, like, even if they don't hear about it, if they see it and they agree with it, they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we have a lot of liberals who are against mask mandate too. Funny story. I was in the dining hall with my friend today, and I was eating, and then this like mask Karen decides to come up to me and she's like, put on a mask. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, no, this is what happened today. And I was just like, I flicked her off. Like, I was like, fuck you.
Jeez. Why would that? Some people, I'm just like, mind your own business. Why do you think that you get to go around telling people what to do?
She's part of the administration.
Oh, she's part
it's
of the administration.
Science.
Yeah, I would have. I still would have been like, even then, it's like, this is a public university. Why do you? No, that's frustrating. I do the same thing. Like, usually I would just end up like putting it up and then like pulling it back down when they go away.
Yeah, that's what I do too. They're having our professors are policing people to wear a mask, even if it's 1 inch below their nose, like literally right here, they're going to force you to pull it back up. It's
That
ridiculous.
is, they're being
It's so
Nazis
bad.
about it. They're like, yeah,
Yeah.
I'm to the point now where I'm just like, honestly, like when are we just gonna like learn to like, okay, we're humans, we're in an ecosystem, there are diseases, and people should handle that how their health, deems necessary. And that's the end of the story.
Yeah, I mean, we should be like, the problem is what I've been trying to stress is natural immunity as well. Like, yes, I mean, personally, I think the vaccine is effective, hence why I took it. It was my personal choice to do so. But we also cannot turn a blind eye to natural immunity. There is representatives like Thomas Massie who is basically preaching about this constantly. Why are we abandoning the thought of actual science and natural and like immunity?
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. We are abandoning that, and we're basically ruining our immune systems by wearing a mask all day. We're not breathing it.
Yeah. And I totally get that actually, because I've talked about this on my show before, but like I don't even take medicine. Like I'm very like I'll take like vitamins and minerals and I'll try and eat good food and stuff. But I'm like I try and be a pretty healthy person in those ways. And I'm a very like I like the natural healing stuff. Like I got strep throat, right? And I was advised very heavily to go to the doctor by someone who just doesn't understand my mindset, you know? But my stepmom is super into natural healing. So I had tea with honey and apple cider vinegar and fermented garlic and cayenne pepper. And in 2, 3 days, that strep throat was gone. Versus like the antibiotics, where it'll be gone just as soon or within a week. So I'm always like trying to stay away from that. And I got COVID. So I try and I'm like, okay, if I had this, I don't want to take medicine. I want to let my body handle it. And since I had it, I have natural immunity. It's like, well, why is this going to be the first? Why does this get to be the first medicine that I take in like 3 years? Like, I think it's lame.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of people are abandoning natural healing. Like, I also do that too with vitamins. I take lots of vitamins. I'm healthy. I work out and stuff. If people actually like got out and actually took care of themselves, they wouldn't be subjected to dying from COVID.
Yeah, that's another
Like,
thing
it's
that you
not
notice
killing young
is.
people. And this is a wake-up call for people to actually start taking care of themselves. I'm not trying to sound rude here, but like, am I wrong?
No, you're not right. I love it. That's exactly what people need to hear. I mean, face it, like America has a problem with being lazy. America has a problem with doing the bare minimum. America has a problem with well, if I can do whatever I want to my body because I can pay to get it fixed or whatever. And so
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm the same way. I'm like, people need to take care of themselves. That's like number one.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So do you think that this protest that you're gonna have is gonna make any good difference with the policy then?
Yeah, so basically, ever since we already had two petitions out for Rutgers, we had one against the vaccine mandate, and then now we have one that's really taking off, and that's our mask mandate petition. So when I started really understanding on how to like go against a university, I came up with a game plan. Number one, we're going to have this rally, then we're going to follow up with basically bombarding the administration's phones with a bunch of phone bankers. And that's going to cause a lot of resistance and then to be pressure to basically repeal this mask mandate.
Oh, this is why
And
I love Yale.
they do so. Yeah, that's why I got so many signups. This is what I'm using them for. I'm like, screw it. You guys want a phone bank?
Yeah.
We're getting these too. The fraternity guys are actually very conservative here.
Good. Wow.
So.
Well, I'm glad that you're getting a lot of support with it. And I definitely think that it's not just about having a protest and saying it once. It's about drilling it into it. It's about if you're going to violate my freedoms, I'm going to make this your problem. I'm not going to throw one swing at a protest and then have it be done. Like that's not really going down fighting. You have to attack the
Yeah.
policy. You have to be getting people motivated. You have to be constantly bugging them about it, and you have to make it their problem that they're restricting your freedom. And that sounds like that's exactly the game plan.
Exactly. And like, I mean, what's done is done with the vaccine mandate. Yes, it's wrong to mandate that COVID vaccine, But what's done is done. And another problem that people are overlooking is that Rutgers University is right next to Johnson & Johnson's. We have an entire lab. Our university has a science lab dedicated to Johnson & Johnson's. It's down the street from our main campus, which is College Avenue. It's no secret that they have a collaboration with Johnson & Johnson's, hence why they wouldn't, like, basically stand against this vaccine mandate. However, with the mask mandate, I feel like we have a greater, like, argument because, hey, 90% of the students on campus are vaccinated, and half the people that oppose it are a lot of liberals and conservatives. With that support, we can absolutely crush the administration.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially when it's a bipartisan effort, you know, and it's just like,
yeah,
hey, at this point, like, are we ever going to try and get back to normal because the vaccine is here?
Exactly. And we're in the state of New Jersey. It's hard for New Jersey to ever go back to normal after the pandemic. But we need to start taking small steps against that, like, side and start opposing them. Because if you ever want to get back to normal, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, it's like, to me, it's also like, you're going so hard on these college students for what, like, about this. Like, this is the group of all groups of people, these guys are like the least affected by it. These guys are like,
yeah,
they're gonna end up being okay.
We really are. Yeah. We really are. And it's a shame that I'm seeing a lot of students, like, let me tell you, there's students who are walking to student centers on campus without a mask on, and I'm one of those students. It's the minute you enter the classrooms is when the teachers go all Nazi on us and literally force us to wear a mask.
Wow. So is there a lot of resistance on campus to those mask mandates?
Not really. It's just, I mean, it's weird because if you're in an open space, people really wouldn't wear a mask. It's like the minute you get into classrooms, it's the minute you get into those indoor, like, environments, like those buildings.
So where to me, changes. It kind of sounds like just young adults being young adults, where they'll kind of dance around the rules just a little bit just because they can. But then when it starts to get serious, they're like, oh, yeah, no, I can play. But then
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Where they can.
There's people who are wearing a mask when they're walking outside. I'm just like, why are you doing this to yourself?
I've seen it here, too. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, this doesn't even, like, breathe in the air. Enjoy being outside. Just
exactly.
Like, this isn't that great because I'm inside. But if I was outside, I'd, like, smell a little bit of pollen. Like, smell.
If you take a look on our New Jersey Yale Instagram page, I literally have pictures of the Rutgers University Involvement Fair. Not a single person was wearing a mask. But they had a concert right behind our table, like, on stage, full of hundreds of students. So there's really a lot of people in the administration, yes. It's like, rules for thee, but rules for me, but not for thee. Or whatever. Oh my gosh.
You can expect you can expect something so typical from them, right?
It's literally hypocrisy.
I'm trying to, let's see. I'm actually here on the Facebook page then. I'm gonna look and see if I can find this because
no, it's on the Instagram.
Oh, it's on the Instagram. Okay.
Yeah. I have to update the Facebook page, my bad.
I got kicked off of Facebook, so I can't even do anything on there.
Why'd you get kicked off?
They just don't like me. I guess I'm too much of a conspiracy theorist. Let's see.
That's so funny.
It says Yale, New Jersey, but I don't think.
No, NJ Yale, NJ underscore Yale.
NJ underscore Yale. See, because I got kicked off of Instagram as well because they bought, because Facebook bought Instagram. Okay, I see. Let's see.
So it's
behind
it's
the,
like,
behind the tabling, right?
Yeah, it's like, so it's with the print guns on money with three guys holding that up. That was their Rutgers Involvement Fair. It's wild.
Oh, I see it.
Yep, those are the guys that signed up. These guys are frat guys, so they're very conservative, they told me. We were just tabling there. We got a lot of signups.
That's awesome. I love to see it. And you guys did a free speech ball, too. Those are always fun.
I love them. They're great. I literally just screamed at people, sign their free speech ball. And then I literally walk up, I corner them. And I'm like, hey, sign up for Yale. We do like yeah.
You got to assume the sale, right?
I know. That's literally all I do.
The free speech ball is fun because, I mean, oh, there's so many profanities out there. People are like, suck a dick and stuff like this. But, like,
My God,
you can write whatever you want.
someone wrote that y'all voted for Joe Biden. Someone wrote that. Someone even wrote cock and ball torture. And we were just like, oh my God. It is so bad.
I got a let's see, I got a suck a dick, a wet ass pussy. I got, yeah, there was a good, I got a, the biggest one that was on there was a fuck Joe Biden that got a lot of amens pointed at it.
My God, when'd you do wait, when'd you do the free speech ball?
Oh, it was recently. It was Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because we're just getting a chapter set up at Weber State because I just became the chair, and so we had the deputy regional director come out and the Nevada RED come out, the recruitment director, and so they helped me out, and we had a really good turnout, but it was a good deal. So, but
That's
Utah
rad.
doesn't have anything like this, and we're like a hardcore conservative state, so like. You know, to get the liberty movement moving here, there's nothing, but we need it. Like the youth, especially, they're hungry for it.
Yeah, I understand that. New Jersey's very similar in that way, so I totally get it. I mean, we have Yale chapters, right? But everything shut down when the pandemic hit. So this semester, I'm rebuilding everything.
That's a hard task to do, especially like when you had momentum and then you lose it.
Yeah, exactly. But the momentum's still there. I'm building it up, and we have a huge resistance against the university itself.
That's awesome. Well, I know that it's a fight in New Jersey and the East Coast, particularly that part of the nation. It seems like it's almost a lost cause, but you guys are still hanging in there strong, and you guys are still
Yeah.
working to, you know, make sure that our freedoms aren't being treaded on.
It does seem like a lost cause sometimes. I won't lie, but like you can't just give up on the people like this. Like the people still want something, but they don't know how to go about it. Like we have the LP in New Jersey, and they're really doing anything. And then we have the New Jersey GOP that's divided into three, fighting over who is going to beat Phil Murphy out. And I'm like, there's so much fighting. Why don't we just work together and get rid of the Democrats?
Yeah, that's there's a lot of, well, and it makes sense though that, I mean, the Republican Party, as far as I've ever known, has never had any sort of real momentum in New Jersey.
Yeah, they had momentum when Chris Christie was governor, but Chris Christie is terrible. Never liked him.
Yeah,
He did
I.
the opioid crisis, and neither did Murphy. Murphy actually ran for governor on basically the take that he was going to end the opioids crisis. He hasn't done shit. He's literally a useless tyrant.
That's what they do. They're like, oh, like Biden, criminal justice reform. And then what does he do? He fires staffers for having smoked marijuana. It's like, dude, are you serious?
My God, Biden is terrible. Did you hear it that he basically mandated vaccinations for all workers in
Almost.
the US?
Luckily, my job has like three employees, so I'm
Oh,
not
that's good.
worried. I'm lucky though, but yeah. Apparently, there's like a bunch of states that are suing him, Utah being one of them because we're pretty based.
Good. New Jersey's probably not gonna sue him. It's a mess here. They do not care.
It doesn't seem like it.
I
Well, sir,
know.
I appreciate you coming on. I'll talk with you for a second after we stop this recording of this part. But I wanted to thank you again for coming on. I know that you've got a new podcast that you're starting up with a partner and this new event. So if there's anything that you want to go ahead and plug to my listeners, you go ahead and say your piece, please.
Sure. So yeah, thank you, Tyson, for having me on. Like you said, my name is Sarah Razi. I'm the New Jersey State Chair at Young Americans for Liberty, and Tyson's a coworker of mine. Yeah, so I'm doing a podcast with another coworker. His name's Ben Heckman. He's our Pennsylvania State Chair, and it's called Thorns in the Side of. And then what we do is that we basically shit post, we do rants on our podcast. It's very political, and yeah, you guys should go check it out and subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Twitter page. And you guys could follow me on Twitter at Liberty Sarah A.
Yeah, she's a bit of a hot shot on Twitter, so you guys got to go get in on that.
Stop. Okay.
Thanks for coming on, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you.